All right, now, I know it's been about a month since we've been in Leviticus, and I'm not going to do it again tonight, but I've not stopped. I'm still studying on it, and I'm working on some things to pass out to help you with all this, to get it clear in your mind and something to look at to help you. So I've found that it's hard for me to keep all that together in my mind. Maybe it's because I'm getting old, but there's a lot of things to remember there, and I've got some charts and stuff, and it'll just really help you. So tonight we're going to preach on the attributes of God, what I would have preached Sunday night, but Gary was preaching Sunday night, so I held this, so we'll do this tonight. How about that? All right, let's go to Psalms 86:15. 86:15. I'm going to read in 2 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 1, just a verse in each one. So, Psalm 86:15, Bible says this, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Well, that names a lot of things about God, don't it? We're going to talk tonight about God's long-suffering, and that's just one of those things. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Bible says, this is a familiar verse, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I was reading the other day, and somebody said, you know, one of the big problems is that God is so patient and long-suffering, that men, because they're not punished quickly for their sin, they seem to do these things and get away with it, but they're not getting away with it. You're just seeing the long-suffering of God, and it's true. That is really true. That's not some excuse that people make to cover the fact that God don't deal with sin. You better not ever entertain the thought that God doesn't deal with sin. All right, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Bible says this, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." Boy, he put himself right at the top of the list, didn't he? "That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering." Paul said he was very long-suffering with me. "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul said he's been more patient and long-suffering with me than anybody else. And I'm sure he really felt that was the way it was. I think everybody ought to feel that way. All right, let's pray again. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now and open our hearts and minds to hear it and receive it and understand it and apply it in our walk with Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Long-suffering and patience are practically the same thing. You can pretty well say they're the same thing. Long suffering. There's just a little bit of difference, though, and we're going to talk about that a minute. The distinction between the two is that long suffering suggests more pain and suffering than just simple patience does. Patience is waiting. Long suffering is waiting and suffering while you wait. Yeah. Nobody likes to wait. But it's a whole lot different when you're suffering and having to wait. Makes it seem a lot longer, don't it? If you're the one doing the long suffering. Patience is cheerful endurance. That's the definition of patience. Cheerful endurance. I think I preached on that one time. I titled it that, cheerful endurance. While long suffering is to be suffering a long time. God has more than patience with us. He's long-suffering. Now, did you catch that? I mean, just that little truth there. Patience. God's patient. Yes, He is. But He's more than patient. He's long-suffering. He puts up with a lot from us that hurts Him, that costs Him, that costs His reputation to be. You know, He bore our shame. He bears our reproach. Christ never did anything to be reproached for. He never did anything that people should speak ill of Him, that they should hate Him, that they should think evil of Him and lay to His charge all this evil nonsense that they do. But they do on account of us, on account of people. God has more than patience. He's got long suffering. God does suffer because of us, because of our self-centeredness and our disobedience, our stubbornness, our procrastination, that slowness on our part to do His will, our dullness of mind and ears that cause Him great grief and pain. Does it cause you distress if your children just won't listen to you?
Yes.
Of course it does. Does it cause you distress if somebody, like a friend or even your child, says they have no confidence in you? I don't know if you read that quote, Tozer quote today, but that was a good one. That's what he said. He said that's what happened in the garden. Eve listened to the devil and his innuendos that he threw at her, and it caused her to entertain doubts about the character of God. And that's what it really happened. I mean, to understand it, he used the illustration of one of your best friends come to you and say, you know, I just don't trust you anymore. You know, I doubt your character. It ruins the friendship. There's no way to have fellowship and friendship anymore until they have faith in you again. And that's what happened. God didn't do nothing wrong. Did you ever have somebody turn on you like that when you didn't do anything? And all of a sudden, you're the most evil, worthless liar. Everything they can say about you, and you didn't do nothing. It's all false. But that's what's in their mind about you. That's it. Well, that's the way everybody is toward God. People don't really go... They're not real vocal, except the real blatant ones. We got a lot of them nowadays because the standard's low and the tide's coming in of evil. And so you got a lot of people that'll blaspheme God openly. But most people don't do that. They don't say they don't trust God. They say they do trust God, but their works say different. Their life, their attitude, what they do says they do not trust God. Well, if you don't trust God, don't you see how that's offensive to Him? It hurts Him. So He's long-suffering about that. Oh, that we could learn to be long-suffering toward people that feel that way about us. It's hard, ain't it? Sure is. It also hinders His working in the hearts of people and His purposes in the world. It hurts the work of God. He's long-suffering. God actually suffers because His work is not accomplished like He would have it to be, because there's something hindering, and that's us. That's people. I'm just lumping us all together here. So it costs God to be long-suffering with us. It costs Him. That's the difference between patience and long-suffering. Patience, you just wait. Cheerful endurance, just wait. But long-suffering involves pain and loss. God's long-suffering because He's willing to wait and to suffer for what He knows that we can become. See, that's faith. The Bible talks about having the faith of Jesus Christ. You have to have the faith of Jesus Christ, faith like He's got. Well, what kind of faith does He have? Well, because He knew what you were going to be long before you did or anybody else, and He waited on you. And not only that, but He was long-suffering. That's why He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Many people think God doesn't respond fast enough. to meet our needs and help us in trouble. But most of the time, we're about to give up long before God is ready to do something to help us. Because He's long-suffering. We give up quick and easy. We make fun of these young people because they say, it's hard, I quit. But we're pretty much, everybody's pretty much that way. Ain't too many people nowadays got much backbone and much grit in their craw. They don't stick anything out very long. I mean, if it ain't comfortable, if it's any kind of a suffering on their part, even uncomfortable, that's suffering. Yep. It's like Seth was talking about the other day. You know, we turn the heat on at night and we turn the air on during the day because it ain't 70 degrees. I mean, it's got to be perfect for us or we ain't happy. And we ain't going to put up with it. We're going to do something about it. But we should be thankful that God is also slow about giving us the punishment we deserve. Did you ever think about that? He's so slow to help us when we cry out to Him in need, we say. Well, you better be thankful He's that way because He's awful slow about giving you the rod when you need it to.
Yes, He is. That's right.
We see, and it's for the same reason. Same reason. When we see things go on that seem unjust and wrong, and we wonder why God doesn't do something about it, the answer is always because He's long-suffering. Now remember that. When you see things, now the world's, man, the lost are keen at that. People that do not trust God, they're real keen about spotting these things and pointing them out. Well, if God's God, and if He's holy, and if He's right, and He's just, and He knows everything, how could He let that happen? Because He's long-suffering, that's why. And because you ain't got much of a view. You're looking through a little peephole and you think you know way more than you do about what's going on. God knows everything. He sees everything. We done talked about that. And that's one of His attributes. He knows a lot more than we do. So much more that we can't even fathom it. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far His thoughts are above our thoughts. Way beyond. So when we see things going on that look unfair to us, then just bank it to this. He's long-suffering. What you're seeing is God's long-suffering. He don't respond impulsively like we do. He don't respond out of desperation and impatience like we do. God's got the long look, and He knows the whole story. Beginning to end, He is the Alpha and the Omega, so He don't jump at any little thing. He don't startle. He don't start. He never has an emergency, or He never feels like He's in an emergency, and He doesn't have, what do they call it, anxiety attacks, and just have to do something. He don't have to do nothing. He's long-suffering. Each of us who is saved is only saved because God's long-suffering. You wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't know a thing about God if He wasn't long-suffering. Because you, I know, just like me and everybody else, you didn't listen the first time, the second time, the third time, the 100th time. You wouldn't listen. But He kept, because He's love and mercy and long-suffering, He just kept sending, kept speaking, kept extending the hand to you until finally you listened and you started listening. I mean, that's the only way, it's the only way we're saved here tonight. Wouldn't nobody be saved if God wasn't long-suffering? Because nobody responds immediately. The first thing that first time God speaks to them, first time God reaches out to them, they don't. Very few respond the first time God calls. Most run and hide and resist and rebel. And our patience would be exhausted on people like that pretty quickly, wouldn't it? How long would we put up with people who resisted us the way we resisted God? Well, we ain't going to put up with them. That means we're not going to suffer with them. If they ain't going to listen, we're just going to just mark them off to hell and go on about our business. People used to pray for other people. They have a burden. That means they suffered. They wept. They spent their thoughts and their time in concern and burden for another soul. That's how people were birthed into the kingdom of God and has always been. You wonder why people are not getting saved now? Because that's a big part of it right there. We're not willing to suffer long. We might suffer a little bit, but not long. Not long. I mean, we're going to give them a chance. We might put ourselves out a little bit, but not a lot. We'll just go so far and we'll say, they're reprobate. On to somebody else. On to different pastures. Y'all know that's the way it is. But God waited on each of us for a long time. And he endured much for our sake in order that we might be saved. Have you ever just kind of rehearsed in your mind your sin a little bit? Huh? When you didn't know God and the things you said and the things you did and the way you thought and the way you shamed him and his cause. You ever thought about that? And then have you ever thought about God was listening to all that? I mean, he heard all that. He knew all about all that. And he didn't smite you dead. He didn't give you cancer. He didn't let lightning strike you from heaven. Why not? Well, because he's long suffering. But God waited on us for a long time. He's patient while we're careless and unconcerned. Every one of us was a careless sinner at one time. Not concerned a bit about it. He's patient while we're caught up in the pursuit of vain things. Oh my. We're talking about idolatry Sunday. Vain things. He puts up with us while we're chasing after vanity. And he's long-suffering about it. Whereas we wouldn't put up with it for a minute in somebody else. Our children, our spouse. He's patient while we're not listening. Boy, we get real impatient about that, don't we? You like to talk to somebody when you know they're not listening to you? Try preaching sometime. No, it ain't pleasant. It's pretty offensive when you're talking to somebody and they're just refusing to listen to you. Or they're carelessly not listening to you. They're occupied in some vain thing while you're trying to tell them something important. They won't listen. What you want to do? What you want to do? You want to slap them, don't you? Say, hey, listen to me. Is that what you do to your kids? I mean, it gets to a certain point, that's what you do. You smack them, say, hey, listen to me. Generally, they'll start listening then, won't they? God is long-suffering. How many times has he spoken and you won't listen? You didn't hear because you're occupied with something else. Have you ever entertained that thought a little bit, meditated on that a little bit? How many times has he spoken and I didn't hear? Well, I wonder if I'll find that out when I meet God. When all this is over, I wonder if he'll show me all the places where I wasn't listening. Like in church, like in the quiet of the night, or while I'm reading the Word of God or studying, or when some stranger come by. I mean, if we're to entertain, be careful to entertain strangers, because some people have entertained angels unawares that way. That's something you ought to take real serious about how you treat people, how you accept people. I mean, you know, you miss a blessing. Boy, I've come, you know, some of the greatest blessings of my life. All the blessings of life are people. It ain't money and things like that. But some of the greatest blessings of my life, I come that close to missing it. Because I almost just blew it off and went on. Blew them off and went on. Oh, don't do it. learn from our God to be long-suffering. It might cost you a little bit of time. It might slow you down a little bit. It might hinder your work and the things you want to get done a little bit, but you better slow down and just be long-suffering. Long-suffering. Not short-suffering, long-suffering. So he's patient when we're not listening. He's patient when we're spending years learning hard lessons that we refuse to learn any other way. Yeah, has anybody here had to learn some lessons the hard way? And the hard way is always the long way. It is. You could learn by listening, or you can learn by suffering for years. Maybe a big part of your life. Some people don't learn really important lessons until their life's about over. God puts up with that. I don't understand, other than the fact that He's God. And He's different than we are. When I look at us and look at myself, and then look at God and in the Word of God, and it says these things about Him, I just think, wow, we're so far from Him. We're so far from understanding what He's like. He's patient while we're learning and growing. Well, we're patient with little ones like the babies here. You know, we're thrilled with every little step in their development. You know, they're crawling. Yeah. Oh, they're walking. Now they're talking. It's all a thrill. But then when they become a nuisance, then we lose our patience with them. But boy, we're patient with them when they're little like that and they're trying to learn to walk, ain't we? We don't ever say, what's the matter, you kid? Why don't you just walk? You know how to do it. Stop fooling around. I'm sick of watching you. Stop it. Do we do that? No, we have hope. We live in hope. Expectation. They're going to. It's coming. They're just about. And we encourage. Why don't we do that with everybody all the time? About everything. Well, God does. He's that way. He's waiting on us. He's long suffering. He knows what we can be. Where we can, which direction we can head. What a blessing we can be in this world and the world to come. And He's waiting on us while we ever so slowly stumble and fall and detour and mess around and fool around along the way trying to learn. And Him trying to show us. And us being stubborn. And us being slow. And us being full of foolishness. He's patient. He's patient while we're stumbling and confused. I'm glad He is. Because there's times when you just don't know what to do. At the best you can do. And your heart may be right. You just don't know what to do. And maybe we ought to know what to do. But we don't. I don't know. This life's full of stuff and things. There's just times when we're not going to know what to do. And God is long-suffering. He don't rush us. Ain't you glad about that? God don't rush you like everybody else does, who's impatient with you, who won't or not willing to suffer and wait while you learn, while you figure it out. He works with us for a lifetime to conform us to the image of His Son before He takes us home to be with Him. I mean, that's the work of God in our life. To conform us to the image of His Son. And as long as we live, He is long-suffering with us. Each one of us. Since God is so long-suffering with us, then it's clear that we should be long-suffering toward God. And others also. As long as God is waiting on us, it's only right for us to be willing to wait on Him. Why you want to rush God when He don't rush you? Why you want to press upon Him when He don't press upon you in the way we're talking about here? Won't you wait on Him to do what He is going to do? You know He's going to do it right. So why don't you wait on Him to do it right instead of trying to figure out a way to hurry Him up? I mean, He's waited on you so many times. He's waiting on you right now. And when we get impatient with Him, we ought to consider what it'd be like if He became impatient with us. What if God was like we are? What if He just got exasperated with us when we're... And you know, I watch little kids and stuff, and as they grow up, and you know, they can be rebellious. They do. They become rebellious and all of this. But sometimes they just don't know what... They don't know what to do. And somebody's on top of them saying, "I'm going to beat you with a stick if you don't." And they're like... Did you ever see that? Did you ever experience that? Somebody trying to force you to do it, and you don't know what to do. You don't know what they want. You don't. What if God was like that with us? What if He yelled at us? What would God ever tell us? You know, you ain't ever gonna amount to nothing. You're worthless. That ain't God. That ain't what you find in the Word of God about Him. We ought to be patient. And we ought to be patient with God. We ought to be patient with others around us. Family, our brethren in Christ. We ought to be patient with them. You know, I'm talking about everybody. Other preachers and everything like that. Everybody ought to keep in mind that everybody is not on the same level of knowledge, wisdom, maturity. You know, you got to live a while to figure this out. When you're young, when you're young and you get saved, you just think, "Man, wow, this is it. Everybody knows it." No, you don't know the very elementary things yet. And after you live a while and you begin to see how this thing works, you ought to be more and more long-suffering with young people, with people that are just weak. You know, ye that are strong, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. You're to bear the infirmity of the weak. You're supposed to comfort the feeble-minded. I mean, there's just always. It's like I've told you before. The preacher told me one time, he said, there's always going to be 20s and 60s and 100s. And you just got them. That's the way it is. So you got to work with them that way. You can't expect 100 from somebody that ain't got but 20. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? The talents. Everybody's not equal. All men were not created equal by God. That's right. But everybody ought to do to their full potential. And that's the goal. But we got to be patient with those that don't measure up. You just got to be patient. You can't condemn them. You can't do that. And you can't speak evil of them and to them. Be patient with them like God is patient with you. Be long-suffering with them like God has been long-suffering with you. Just always keep that in mind. There's two sides. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, the golden rule. But also do unto others. Won't you just try doing unto others as God has done unto you? Boy, you'd be a blessing to people if you just do half. If you just be half as good to other people as God has been good to you. All right, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now that's the command of the Bible in the New Testament about how we are to treat one another in a church. Do you see that? Lowliness and meekness with long suffering. Forbearing. Y'all know what that means? Well, that's a whole nother message, but forbearing means bearing it before they do it. Knowing somebody, knowing how they are, and just bearing it anyway. Not holding it against them, not getting mad about it, not trying to fix it. That's just the way it is. Amen. All people that are perfect, they don't have that problem, but I don't know anybody that just does everything to please everybody. All right, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It's commanded in the New Testament. We're commanded to be long-suffering toward others. Long-suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, we know those three. What's the next one? Long-suffering. There it is. How about that? Gentleness, goodness, faith. Yes, sir. We should be long-suffering toward folks as they come to know the Lord and learn of Him. Be long-suffering. They're not going to do everything right. They're not going to understand everything right. It's going to take them a while. Some of them get a hold of it pretty good. It's just like a classroom full of students. You got bright ones and you got slow ones. That's right. You got some that are obedient and submissive and willing, and you got some that are stubborn and disobedient and unwilling, rebellious. And you got to try to teach them all. And the Lord's doing it. He's working on it, so don't get in the way of the Lord by being impatient with them and short-suffering. Is there such a word? Well, we just made it up. Be willing to suffer long. Not short. All right, one more verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, 2. 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Now that's to the preachers, see? Do all that with long suffering and doctrine. You're going to have to put up with a lot if you hope to do any good in the kingdom of God. Many times it's a painfully slow process to get people to understand. For those who are older or more mature in the Lord, it seems like they need to be thrashed sometimes. But we need to remember how the Lord patiently brought us along and how long it took. I do. I look back and think of things that, you know, why did it take so long? Well, it was me, not the Lord. If I hadn't have been so hard-headed, if I'd have been more eager, more searching, if I'd have been more at it, I could have learned some things a long time ago that took a long time to learn. God will patiently endure with us until there is no longer any hope for our soul. And only He knows when that is. From where we sit, we got to simply be long-suffering with others as long as they are alive. Now that's the rule we got to go by. God knows when they're done, but we don't know when they're done. And so what we got to do is just put up with it. Be long-suffering and hope. Have faith that God will save their soul, that God will help them to learn, that they'll be a different person. That's what we got to do. Amen? God is long-suffering. That's one of the wonderful things about God. He's long-suffering. He can wait. He can wait patiently. He can even suffer while He waits, and it don't affect His determination to do the right thing. Amen. Well, let's stand. When God gets ready to move, it don't take Him long. You know the flood? How fast do you think the flood happened? Oh, it was like instantaneously. it didn't start a slow drizzle and rain for days and days. And they thought, well, is this it or not? Is this it or not? No, they knew it. The day, the flood. The Bible tells us the exact day that it happened. It all happened. Yes. They didn't live for days after the flood started. They died that day. Everybody, everything that breathed in the world died that day. So when God gets ready to move and it's time, He moves. When the Lord comes back for the church, how's that going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how it's going to happen. Instant. But until then, boy, God is, sometimes it seems like He's moving so slow. We always said, man, He's moving so slow, we're going to have to set up stakes to see if He's even moving. And that's the way it seems sometimes. Is He ever going to do something? Is this ever going to change? Is it ever going to be? Yeah, it will. What you're seeing is God's long-suffering. If He'd done it before it was time, it would be a hurtful thing. He would harm you. He'd harm other people's. Something would suffer. It would be wrong. God does all things well. That's what they said about Jesus. He doeth all things well. And He still does. Even if it is slow. So, amen. Bow with me. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the fact that You're long-suffering and patient with us. Poor creatures. I don't understand it, but I'm very grateful, Lord, that You're that way. And I pray that You'd help us understanding this to be able to trust You more. To be able to just relax and know that You are in control. And that in due time, You absolutely do move Your hand and do what needs to be done. And so, Lord, help us to trust You and wait upon You. Pray You'd give us a safe trip home tonight. Bless each one here. Work in our lives. Help us to be fruitful in Your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.